Welcome to the OCR GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm your guide for today, and we're diving deep into one of the most exciting and technically rich areas of the course, printmaking. Whether you're working on your portfolio right now or preparing for your externally set task, this episode is going to give you everything you need to hit the top bands. So grab a sketchbook, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Printmaking sits within Component 1 of the OCR GCSE Art and Design Specification. And it's a topic that rewards students who are genuinely curious and willing to experiment. What makes printmaking so special is that it's not just about making a beautiful final image, it's about the entire journey from your first research sketch to your final perfectly registered print. And that journey is exactly what examiners are looking for across all four assessment objectives. Let's start with the foundations. There are four main families of printmaking processes, and you need to know them confidently. The first is relief printing. In relief, you remove material from a surface, like cutting into a lino block or a piece of wood, and the raised areas pick up the ink and transfer it to the paper. Think of a rubber stamp. Classic examples are lino cut and wood cut. The second family is intaglio, which works in the opposite way. Here, you incise or etch lines into a metal plate, usually zinc or copper, and the ink sits in those recessed grooves. When you press damp paper onto the plate with a printing press, the ink is pulled out of the grooves and onto the paper. Etching, dry point, and aquatint all belong to this family. The third family is planographic printing, where the image and non-image areas are on the same flat surface. Lithography is the classic example, exploiting the fact that oil and water repel each other. Monoprinting also falls here. It's a one-off print made by painting or drawing directly onto a flat surface and transferring it. And the fourth family is screen printing, sometimes called serigraphy, where ink is pushed through a mesh screen onto the surface below with a stencil blocking certain areas. Now, here's something really important. You don't need to master all four families. What you need to do is choose one or two processes, understand them deeply, and show genuine technical development through your portfolio. Examiners award marks for depth of engagement, not breadth of coverage. Let's talk about the key practitioners you should know. Albrecht Dürer, the German Renaissance master, is essential for understanding woodcut and engraving. His extraordinary precision in works like Rhinoceros from 1515 shows how intaglio line work can convey texture, weight, and drama. Rembrandt van Rijn is the master of etching. His use of chiaroscuro, that dramatic contrast between light and shadow, is something you can directly reference and adopt in your own dry point or etching work. Katsushika Hokusai, the Japanese woodblock master, is famous for the Great Wave off Kanagawa. His work is a masterclass in how bold outlines, flat color, and compositional tension can create iconic imagery through relief printing. Moving into the 20th century, Andy Warhol's screen prints, think Marilyn Monroe or Campbell's soup cans, demonstrate how printmaking can interrogate ideas of mass production, celebrity, and consumer culture. And for a contemporary reference, Kara Walker uses silhouette and stencil-based approaches to address race, history, and identity with extraordinary power. Knowing these practitioners isn't just about name-dropping. It's about understanding how their technical choices serve their ideas, and then asking yourself, how can I do the same? Now, let's get practical. If you're working in relief, say lino cut, the process goes like this. You start with a design drawn or transferred onto your lino block. You then carve away the areas you want to remain white or unprinted, using a variety of gouges. A V-gouge creates sharp, directional lines and is brilliant for suggesting movement or texture. A U-gouge removes larger areas and creates softer, more open marks. The depth of your cut matters. Shallow cuts create fine, delicate lines. Deeper cuts create bold, graphic shapes. Once you've carved your first state, you roll out ink on a glass slab using a brayer, that's the roller, until it has a smooth, even consistency, almost like velvet. You then roll the ink onto the raised surface of your block, place your paper carefully, and either press by hand using a baron or run it through a press. Peel the paper back slowly, and you have your first proof. Here's where so many candidates lose marks. They pull one proof, think it looks good enough, and move on. Don't do that. That first proof is your starting point, not your finishing line. Look at it critically. Where is the ink too heavy? Where is it too light? Are there areas of the composition that feel weak? Now annotate that proof, and I mean really annotate it, analytically. Don't write, "I cut the lino here." Write something like, "I used a V-gouge to create directional tension in the background," referencing Hokusai's use of diagonal line to suggest movement. That is the difference between a grade 4 and a grade 7 annotation. The concept of states is crucial. Each time you modify your block or plate and pull a new print, that's a new state. Rembrandt famously worked through multiple states of his etchings, and you should too. Retain every state. Photograph every stage. Your portfolio should tell the story of a printmaker who thinks, experiments, reflects, and refines. For intaglio work, dry point in particular, the process involves scratching directly into a metal or acrylic plate with a sharp needle. The scratch lines throw up a tiny ridge of displaced metal called the burr, and it's this burr that holds extra ink and creates that characteristic soft, velvety line quality. It's delicate and it wears down quickly, so dry point editions are typically small. When inking an intaglio plate, you push ink across the entire surface, then carefully wipe it back with a scrim cloth so that ink remains only in the recessed lines. The pressure of the printing press forces damp paper into those lines to lift the ink.
The result can be extraordinarily subtle, perfect for tonal work inspired by Rembrandt's chiaroscuro. Now let's talk about what examiners are actually looking for, because this is where marks are won and lost. OCR assesses you across four equally weighted assessment objectives, each worth 25% of your marks. AO1 is about developing your ideas through contextual investigation. This means researching printmakers, analyzing their work critically, and using that analysis to inform your own creative decisions. AO2 is about experimenting and refining. This is where your proofs, your test strips, your ghost prints, and your modified states all earn you marks. Examiners want to see risk-taking, trying something that might not work, and then reflecting on why. AO3 is about recording your ideas, observations, and insights. Your annotations must be analytical, not descriptive. And AO4 is about presenting a personal and meaningful response. Your final prints must demonstrate technical control, intentional composition, and a clear connection back to your research. The most common mistake I see is what I call the AO1-AO4 disconnect. A candidate does brilliant research into Hokusai, produces beautiful analysis of his compositional techniques, and then creates a final print that looks nothing like it was informed by that research. The research in the making must be in constant conversation. Your final print should feel like the inevitable conclusion of your investigative journey. Let me give you some quick-fire exam tips. First, never throw away a proof. Even a failed print is evidence of AO2 experimentation. Second, write annotations in the present tense as if you're thinking aloud. I am choosing a V gouge here because the directional marks will echo the diagonal energy I observed in Hokusai's waves. Third, for multicolor relief prints, registration is everything. Use registration marks, small crosses in the corners of your block, to ensure each color layer aligns precisely. A misregistered print can undermine otherwise excellent technical work. Fourth, vary your paper. Try printing on tissue paper, newsprint, cartridge paper, and colored stock. Different surfaces create different qualities, and experimenting with substrate is a great way to evidence AO2. Fifth, when writing about your contextual references, use the language of formal analysis. Line, tone, texture, color, pattern, form, composition. These are the terms that signal to an examiner that you are thinking like an artist. Now, a quick-fire recall quiz. Pause the audio after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the key difference between relief and intaglio printing? In relief, ink transfers from raised surfaces. In intaglio, ink transfers from recessed grooves. Question 2. What is a state in printmaking? A state is a distinct version of a print pulled after modifications have been made to the block or plate. Question 3. Name two assessment objectives and what they assess. AO1 assesses critical investigation and contextual references. AO3 assesses the recording of ideas through annotation and documentation. Question 4. What is the burr in dry point and why does it matter? The burr is the ridge of displaced metal thrown up by the dry point needle. It holds extra ink and creates the characteristic soft, velvety line quality. Question 5. Name one printmaker associated with chiaroscuro in etching. Rembrandt von Rijn. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant sections of your study guide. Let's wrap up. Printmaking is one of the most technically demanding and intellectually rich areas of the OCR GCSE Art and Design course. The candidates who achieve the highest marks are those who treat every proof as a conversation, between their research and their making, between intention and outcome, between what they planned and what the process revealed. Keep every proof. Annotate analytically. Let your contextual references genuinely shape your technical decisions. And above all, be curious. The best printmakers, from Dürer to Warhol, were artists who asked what if at every stage of the process. You should too. Thank you for listening. Good luck with your portfolio, and I'll see you in the next episode.